What could be crazy about this? We're just feeding zombie takeout to gators. What could be crazy about that?
What's up? Welcome to episode 207 of Zombie Takeout,
Zombie Takeout,
the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a little bit of news from CinemaWand. Ghostbusters star Ernie Hudson talks start date for Ghostbusters 3. Sony plans to soldier on with Ghostbusters 3, even though Bill Murray wants no part of it, and we lost an original Ghostbuster in Harold Ramis. The idea, from what we've been hearing, is to pass the torch onto a younger generation of Ghostbusters, and we might start hearing casting news on the sequel front, because the start date for Ghostbusters 3 has been pegged for fall 2014, or at the latest, spring of 2015. This, at least, is the latest from original Ghostbuster Ernie Hudson, who spoke with Film Dumpster, love that name,
wow,
at the Niagara Falls Comic Con, and confirmed that the sequel is, quote, definitely happening, with the intention of starting around that time. However, Hudson cautions that he's often told things only to have them change, specifically in reference to the start date. And he also said that Ivan Reitman is the one who told them that it's definitely happening. He mentioned that Ivan Reitman directed and produced, past tense, as he did with the first two movies. So his specific involvement with three is yet to be known. So it's Ray and I can't remember Bernie Hudson's character's name.
Yeah, I can't remember it either. So it's just going to be Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson?
Yeah, well, Murray wants nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And Venkman was the big thing in the original movies.
Maybe they'll just CGI him into it.
And no Egon.
Yeah, they'll CGI Egon into it.
So I'm hoping that they're focusing mostly on the younger Ghostbusters. And they get some good casting, because that could be good if, you know, Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson have small roles.
Does the world really need another Ghostbusters?
No, but it's happening, and so I'm trying to think of how it could be good.
Oh.
Up until I saw this story, I assumed that it was just Dan Aykroyd's desperate pipe dream and it was never going to happen. But
I have heard many movies that were happening that either never did or took like 10 years.
Well, yeah, how often have we heard about the Akira live-action version happening?
Spider-Man was talking about happening like 1989.
Good point.
Like, Batman had just grossed a shit ton of money, so everyone's like, there's definitely going to be a Spider-Man movie out now. I mean, it is definitely happening. And it was James Cameron who was on it originally.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting.
And then poof.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Well, it did, just 5 years later.
A completely different version that they were going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a whole decade.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking that Ghostbusters 3, if they go with, you know, the new class, could be interesting if it's cast well. But I don't know who, again, we always run into the problem of younger actors.
You know, wouldn't it make a better TV series than a movie?
Yes.
But of course, they could just call it The Real Ghostbusters like they did with the Saturday morning cartoon.
Ghostbusters TV series could be really good, and just on the in the first episode have Aykroyd and Hudson pass the torch and just, you
sure,
know, establish everything. I think it's as likely to happen as the Star Wars live action series.
Right, that was happening.
Mm-hmm. For years that was happening. For about a decade that was happening.
They'd even talked about a specific number of episodes it was going to happen for, remember? It was supposed to be something crazy like 300 or 400 episodes.
I've been reading up on that. It's definitely dead.
Of course.
But it was supposed to be about young Han Solo. How he met and how he got the Falcon and all of that.
This was the series was going to be a different thing altogether. It was going to be...
This was Star Wars Underworld, which was the live-action series that they were planning after the prequels.
They were talking about like a Band of Brothers type thing, and it was going to be... Oh, yeah, maybe that was a young Han Solo, now that you mention it. Because it was between the two trilogy, so young Han Solo would fit.
Right.
Ah, I didn't think of that.
And so now they're saying that all of those resources and scripts and all of that, because they had a ton of scripts for that,
Of
there,
course.
all of that is going to go into the Han Solo standalone movie, and that's going to be young Han Solo, which will be interesting. I've always wanted to see that Sabacc game where he won the Falcon.
And are we reporting on the possibility of a new Star Trek series, or we do not have enough information on that yet?
I have no information on that. I wasn't planning to bring up Star Wars. It just came up in the conversation.
But the rumor is that Netflix is
Ooh.
going to do an exclusive Star Trek series, since
Wow.
Star Trek is what they stream more than anything
Yeah,
else.
they have, I think, every series at this point, including the animated series.
I've even seen some of the animated series on it. They have most of the movies, like they're one or two or a few, a handful are missing,
The
which is.
first Abrams movie isn't on there anymore, which is annoying
No.
because I wanted to rewatch it.
Yeah. And like some of the later ones weren't on there, which was kind of annoying because I wanted to watch all of them together, kind of. And I think we had to stop at after five or six, I can't remember what.
I think Nemesis is on there still.
Right. But there's some, like, I don't think Generations is. It's like weird. You can't watch the entire series from one thing to another. But yeah, they're talking about an exclusive deal where CBS would get royalties for each stream. And that's pretty much all the information that's out so far that I heard.
Now, obviously, it's going to be yet another alternate universe, or they're going back to the original.
They don't. Yeah, not enough specific shit on it.
It's not going to be the J.J. Abrams universe because they're not going to get Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto and all that.
Yeah.
The question is, what style will it take? Will it
I
be
don't know.
more like the original or more like the Abrams movies in terms of the look?
That's the cool thing about Star Trek. It could take so many different directions. Like each series has really been a unique series, you
Yeah.
know?
I just realized it could be in the Abrams universe. It just wouldn't be Kirk and Spock.
Right.
It could be before or after.
It just wouldn't be an Enterprise thing.
Right. Well, it could be the Enterprise. It could be the Enterprise at a
In
later
the
date.
future, you're right, yeah.
They've already done the first Enterprise crew.
I think that could be one of the easiest things to do. Just like the next generation was in the future from that, so just push ahead in the future.
Up until the series Enterprise, that's what they were doing. It was the
Yeah.
crew of the Enterprise at a later date.
Or a different crew
Oh,
altogether, like
Voyager, right.
Deep Space Nine and Voyager.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if I've said this on this show before, but stuff I wouldn't mind that seeing them do. I mean, ideas for Star Trek series. I've of course would love to see what a Captain Wesley Crusher, but I don't think that would ever happen.
No, Will Wheaton's too expensive for Netflix, I think.
And the other thing, of course, would be a Star Trek series set in the Mirror Mirror universe.
Ooh, yes. That would be amazing.
And I know exactly where I would start it too. I would start it right after, because they did a Mirror Mirror episode in Enterprise, like the
Yeah, they reference it.
prequel.
Well, they reference a
And
lot of the classic episodes in Enterprise.
but they actually just did an episode or two in the parallel universe. It was just from the counterpoint part view. There was very little crossover, except they found a missing starship from the original series,
Oh, wow.
which, if you watch an original series episode, there is a starship that disappears.
Ooh.
And so this shows up where it came in the parallel universe and then changing history there. But I would start it after the original series episode ended, where Spock is handed the power and to see how he takes on the entire Federation on his own. Or Empire, I'm sorry. But anyway, I guess we've talked enough about other movies. I think it's time.
Well, real quick, you mentioned Captain Wesley Crusher. I did
Yes.
check out the first couple episodes of the Will Wheaton Project on Syfy.
Yeah.
Really good. Highly recommend it.
Oh, I wouldn't mind seeing that at all, yeah.
It's basically talk soup, but covering sci-fi, fantasy, and horror instead of talk shows.
He's milking it.
Well, he's not milking Star Trek at this point.
Yeah.
He's a geek icon.
Yeah, he is. Which is really funny because geeks hated him.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious.
It's
It's
hilarious.
and he's done an amazing job of image adjustment.
I can't wait for like Jake Lloyd to try to do the same thing like
Yeah.
some years from now. But it could happen.
I
Hayden
actually, now that you
Christensen or
mention it,
Jake Lloyd?
yes. I see Hayden Christensen more so than Lloyd.
Yeah.
Because Lloyd wants nothing to do with being in front of a camera ever again.
Yeah, poor kid.
Anyway, on
Anyway.
to this week's movie, which is
Whew.
from 2011, Megapython versus Gatoroid, and of course the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Hasbens. Are you on a limited budget but need an actor who's willing to risk career suicide? Hire a Hasben. They're cheap and desperate. After all, what have they got to lose?
And also brought to you by steroids. One shot does it all.
Yeah, who knew they actually increased the skeletal structure size as well?
Yeah, they're amazing. Well, let's see. We have a state park in the Florida Everglades. It's funny, the beginning kind of brought back some memories for me because I once worked in a state park myself, just not in Florida. Have the uniform still actually somewhere. I don't know why, but I do. And well, there's an environmentalist that doesn't seem to know a whole lot about the environment.
Yeah,
She,
particularly where pythons come from.
yeah. I kept thinking of the WKRP episode
Yes,
where
the
they
turkeys.
thought turkeys could fly.
Yep.
But they, she releases, she steals these mega pythons
They
out
were
of,
just regular pythons when they were stolen. They were
oh,
large, but they
there were
were.
some big ass pythons. I'm giving them the mega label.
They were large, normal pythons.
Okay.
Incidentally,
And
there's no one Debbie Gibson size who could lift that on their own. That python would weigh over 100 pounds.
that python would eat her
Well, that's it.
in one gulp. Like the aliens from V. But anyway, she steals these from a lab and releases them into the Everglades in a James Bond villain style plot to take over the ecosystem for the pythons?
I don't know. That wasn't really clear.
No, it's not. It just comes back to stupidity in the end.
Specifically, okay, and this is a nitpick I was going to wait, but since we're on the
Well,
topic.
the movie's just warming up for stupidity, though. Come on.
Pythons are indigenous to Asia and Africa.
Right.
Do they not understand the concept of massive environmental upheaval from putting a species where it doesn't belong?
Right, and Tiffany's character is trying to explain this to her. And she said, it's the food chain, and they're the top of it. But anyway, they're just getting warmed up to Cordalpacito because of course the pythons are just killing the crocodiles or
Alligators.
gators so easily, and they were already starting to thin out even before that they weren't allowing them to hunt them, which I don't know. I haven't talked to my cousins in Florida recently, but is that really a thing?
I would assume so. People will hunt anything.
Well, no, the hunting, yes, but their population being thinned
Oh,
out.
yeah. I think that was more of a story point to,
I think so too. I think they fucking run rampant. Anyway, but so they're about to wipe out the entire ecosystem, really, because they just don't belong there. So her idea is to. I can only just say, I don't know why she swallowed the fly. No, her idea, instead of bringing in another predator, is to make the predators there larger. And what better way to do that than shoot them up on steroids? And there was some scientific experimental steroid. I'm not sure what species of growth hormone they're using here. That would actually influence
The skeletal
gator
structure.
growth. Well, yes, that grows the skeletal structure, and I still don't buy it going through generations like that.
That is possible, but over a much longer period of time, if they were exposed to the steroid over a much longer period of time.
All
It
right,
could happen.
I am not a steroid expert. I have never taken steroids, but seeing athletes that took steroids in their prime.
Well, it may decrease the odds of there being future generations, if that's what you're getting at.
No. They take steroids in their prime, and they need to keep taking steroids,
To maintain.
or else the air goes out of the balloon.
Yes.
In more ways than one. So she would have to have been consistently feeding them steroids, which was not implied here. It was implied that she gave they went out one night, stuffed the chickens full of steroids. I don't know why I'm mixing up species tonight, turkeys and chickens, gators and crocodiles, but I am, fuck it. It's been a long day. She would have to have been feeding them a constant diet of the steroids to have had them grow, and she would have then noticed that they were the size of an airplane or whatever the fuck they grew to
Yeah.
in the end.
A train.
A train,
Slightly
yes.
larger than a train, actually. Oh,
And
that's neat.
so that's, yes. And it was the snake that did it. But anyway. But anyway, yes, so they instead of them actually going against each other, they wind up joining forces. And when you're asking Debbie Gibson and Tiffany, or the Python and the Gators, I mean, yes, both of them start working together. I'm not sure why, in either case, but they do. And they call in another scientist. He sees how much of a clusterfuck this is.
Briefly does a very credible Ricardo Montalban impression.
Yes. Tries to draw someone's attention to how much of a clusterfuck is, but is stonewalled because, of course, Mickey Dolenz is there to perform. And hilarity ensues.
Now, when you said Tiffany and Debbie Gibson or the snakes in the gators, I thought you were talking about who you would root for.
They both join
Oh
forces.
no, I know what you're getting at, but I was expecting you to say, which side do you root for? I was kind of rooting for the reptiles. I've mentioned this back when we reviewed Snakes on a Plane, and I'll mention it again. I'm kind of an armchair herpetologist. I've always been fascinated by snakes and reptiles in general. I was really pulling for the snakes and the gators in this one.
It's a tough call. It's a tough call to make. They do some amazing things, the snakes, like with the train. The snakes on the train, I don't know.
Basically, train coming at snake laying there, swallows it whole. It's meals on wheels, literally. Now, I'm just going to start off by saying this movie makes Sharknado look like The Godfather.
It does, doesn't it? It's almost one of those "May God have mercy on your
Yeah.
souls." Everyone's dumber just for having listened to it.
Thing is, for that first 30 minutes or so, it is that. And I was having a hard time. I almost tapped out.
And it's purposely stupid too. It's the confounding thing about asylum films, where they intentionally make it bad.
Yeah. Then it gets to that scene where she's feeding the chickens to the gators or loading them up at steroids, actually. And she's saying, "This isn't a bad idea, is it? This isn't a stupid idea." Like, repeatedly, drawing attention to the fact that it is a very stupid idea.
What could be crazy about that?
Yes, I think that was the line,
That
yeah.
is a line.
That's when it got good. And I don't mean good in terms of good movie. It got enjoyable for me from that point on.
Well, it was a definite wink to the camera,
Oh, absolutely.
that these are idiots and believe nothing that is said on this film.
Now, Tiffany and Debbie Gibson are both listed as executive producers on the film,
Oh, man.
which explains why they're in the film, because that was probably part of the deal.
Well, this wasn't Tiffany's first Syfy movie. I think she did Mega Python the year before this.
So this may have been a sequel.
It may have been.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna have to see
Or
those.
Mega Piranha, I think it was.
Oh, okay. Well, I was gonna say this for sequels and remakes, but to me, all of these kind of take place in the same universe. Sharknado, this, even Aztec Rocks, in this batshit insane universe where this stuff actually is normal.
Right.
It's all the same universe to me.
Mega Piranha. Let me see if she was actually the same character or not. Sarah Monroe. I
No,
don't
she
think that
wasn't.
was. Yeah.
This was Terry something in Mega Python.
With Barry Williams.
Oh, I should see that.
They really know how to lure you in, don't
Oh,
they?
yeah. Now, there's a chase scene early in the film after they steal the snakes. And I think I earned a little respect for Asylum at this point because they didn't even bother trying to put in the moving background behind the scenes of Debbie Gibson and her compatriots in the Jeep. It was just black behind them.
It's
They knew what they had, they didn't even bother.
I'm back and forth because, on one sense, seeing a bad movie to enjoy it, you really want someone to think they're making a good movie, and striking out.
At times, yeah. That's often more enjoyable, but I mean, look at Piranha 3 Double D. They knew exactly what they were doing with that movie.
True.
And they played to it completely. I mean, and not, this is not on that level,
But when you're making a movie purposely bad, it does kind of take some of the fun out of it because you know they're purposely making it bad.
yeah.
But what made this interesting, of course, are the performances by Tiffany and Debbie Gibson. Because they felt you
They
can
were
kind of
doing a
get
good job, yeah. They
exactly.
were really trying.
You get the feeling that, yes, they winked to the camera a few times, but you did get the feeling that they're like, wow, my career could get turned around from this. Which is hilarious if you think of it.
They're cheap and desperate.
Although the one Asylum touch I did like to it was the Asylum blimp.
Yes. That was very subtle and really amusing. Now back to that chase scene for one more moment. There's a point where, they evade the cop car, and the cop car rolls. It doesn't hit anything. It doesn't go over a cliff. It just skids and rolls. For no reason. I just got a kick out of that. I was expecting it to blow up.
There was a whole laws of physics thing. I
Yeah,
guess
yeah,
that's what you meant by this takes place in the same world, where the laws of physics are just like that.
Aside from the whole skeletal structure thing, I'm not going to bother nitpicking any of the science in this movie.
Oh man,
It's just not worth it.
should I get a few of mine? I mean, we already
If you
did
want.
steroids lasting perpetually.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's see, there's the splattering eggs. Which I could see why they would do that. Why not? Him taking explosives underneath the bridge without blowing the bridge up. There's the inexplicable helicopter not pulling up when they were like, pull up, pull up. And it just kind of like, were they implying Tiffany was that heavy?
I think they were.
Oh,
At
damn, I didn't
least
think of
that's what
that.
I read,
Oh,
how I
that's
read it.
bad. Oh, that's bad.
I think that was definitely part of the implication.
Why'd the snakes and gators not fight anymore? And I think
Common
the
enemy.
most important physics question of this movie, what was holding up Debbie Gibson's dress? To paraphrase Al Bundy, of course.
Tape.
Tape. There you go.
Also, when they blew up the snakes and gators,
Yeah.
the snakes blew up in nice, even, well-defined pieces.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing dripping, no ragged edges, just like they were sliced and cauterized.
The snake storm.
Which leads me to, this is probably the worst CGI I have ever seen.
But you know, it's purposely bad CGI. I went into that fully expecting bad CGI because that's what Asylum
Well, I
does.
was expecting bad. I was not expecting this bad.
I mean, they purposely do this. There's no question about it. I mean, I think we talked about that the last time we did an Asylum movie. It's intentionally bad.
Well, I don't know if they're necessarily intentionally bad in most cases. In this case, yes. I think your average Asylum movie, they just don't care. They're just cranking it out as cheap and as fast as possible.
They were doing better CGI back in the 80s for like Star Trek: The Next
Yeah,
Generation.
yeah. Well, in this case, yeah, they were deliberately probably knocking it down a bit.
Oh yeah, like making the snake just a black shadow kind of thing, moving across, or overemphasizing the shadow of the snake. I mean that's clearly intentional. Like you can't unintentionally, it's not even possible to unintentionally do that. You had to be making the settings too high.
And I was impressed that they didn't make reference to pythons being poisonous. I was fully expecting a line about their venom.
I was too. I was very surprised about that. But So the question is why? I guess it would take too much out of the movie. Like, if you were struggling with it, the python would obviously win.
Well, because they're not. Pythons are constrictors. They're not venomous. I'm impressed that they'd done their homework at least to that point.
That's why bother with that then if you're going to take everything else out the window?
Well, I don't know. It was just nice to know that it wasn't quite that stupid.
Like the gator and the python are jacked up, so we're just going to get along together now. We're going to work in
Well,
tandem.
yeah. Because reptiles are really known to work as groups.
We're right, especially if they're jacked up on roids. That's one way to get two people to work together. Shoot them up on steroids. Of course, they'll start thinking logically. The friend of my or the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
And for those who didn't get my sarcasm, reptiles are one of the most solitary species.
They'll eat their own fucking kids.
They don't give a shit about anything else.
Ah, one of the biggest letdowns this movie, though, and it was hyped so much, is the cat fight.
I liked it. It was obviously deliberately bad and over the top and cheesy, but I enjoyed it.
One of the biggest underlying problems of this movie is that they did this about 15 to 20 years too late.
Well, we knew that. I wasn't expecting it to be interesting on that level. Although I will say they don't look bad.
It was kind of like watching an aunt or grandmother fight, each other.
Let's say aunt. They were like late 30s, maybe 40 when the movie was shot.
Well, yeah, okay, we will.
They were
But
our age. They're still like our age. They're slightly older than us, so.
I imagine, though, if you're a kid watching that, and that's kind of the main audience of this, because, I know I'm not the intended target for this,
I
but I
am.
imagine if you're a kid, you would think that's like your grandmother fighting.
Fair enough, fair enough. And they were kind of playing up that aspect of the cat fight.
Of course they were.
I think that was more intended for children of the 80s who weren't quite over the crushes they had on these two.
Oh, man. I was trying to even remember any of Debbie Gibson's songs.
I remember a line or two here and there. Of the
She...
one that they referenced, Only in My Dreams, I can remember a line or two of that, of
Did
the
they
chorus.
reference that?
Tiffany had a reference to it during, right before the cat fight. In fact, I think it led to the cat fight.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah. And then
But
they
that's
ended
the
the
only song
cat.
of hers I can think of.
And then they ended the cat fight with I Think We're Alone Now, which,
Yep.
in hindsight, Tiffany won out because she covered. That's all she did were covers.
I'm not sure that particular song was a cover, yeah. And she didn't write anything, obviously.
Well, her only two songs that I know of are I Think We're Alone Now and I Saw Him Standing There.
Right, yeah. She was best known for her covers.
Right. So at least you remember the song she did. Whereas Debbie Gibson, I don't know who wrote them or whatnot.
She wrote them. That was she was
She didn't.
known for writing her own stuff.
Okay. Just can't remember a goddamn thing she did.
I remember one song and I can only remember a line in the chorus.
Huh.
Now there was a gag in the movie that, and I don't mean gag in the comedic sense, but a sequence that I found particularly interesting given the quality of the rest of it. There's some hanging snakeskin that had been shed, and one of the hunters is kind of spooked by it, and it kind of tips him off that there's something in the area.
Well, because it's shed, right?
And he backs off and you hear a gator growl. And I just thought that using the snakeskin as kind of the thing that he kind of brushes up against was a nice touch.
It was probably one of the best shot scenes in the movie, actually, where there's actually a little bit of suspense going on. The other problem with the movie was just, yeah, the pacing was just murderously slow for.
In the first half hour or so, yes.
Oh, yeah, at least. It was like an hour, a whole hour before they finally did the see shit has really hit the fan. Like they pushed it that long. I mean, what really needed to happen would be like the first act, half hour of that, second act, the fight in the Everglades, third act, it goes beyond the Everglades.
Yeah. They didn't have the budget for the attack on Miami that that would have required, I don't think.
I think they could have gotten away with it. Like, I mean, come on, it's not like they're spending money on the effects.
Incidentally, the film premiered theatrically in Texas before it aired on television.
What?
It had a showing in a theater. And to my point about the budget, they recycled footage from Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus. So they were stealing footage from their own movies to pad this out because that's how low the budget was.
But they have the budget. They just don't want to spend. Well, actually, it's not even that they don't want to spend it.
Siffy
It's
has
that
the budget.
they don't want to appear that they've spent it, because that would not blend well with the rest of the movie. That's not the intention of the movie.
I think Siffy has the budget, but the reason they bring Asylum in is to get it done cheap and fast. So they're not willing to give them the money that would require that it would require to make the movies more interesting.
But these are intentionally bad.
Well, yes.
They could still do more bad special effects that don't cost money or take more stock footage and still do it. They really could do whatever they wanted to do, honestly. They weren't going to do it well. But script-wise, if they're intending on this bad action, B movie thing, to drag that first hour out was pretty painful.
See, it wasn't a whole hour for me. It was a half hour or so until she fed the chick she until she loaded up the chickens with the steroids. And when she said, "Yo, this isn't crazy, is it?" That was the tipping point for me when it started getting fun.
Well, that's the thing. There are good moments of the film too. I just feel they're stretched out way too far from each other.
See,
You know?
the whole second two thirds was good to me. That was fun. I mean, not good in the sense of well made, but it was fun for me from that point on.
Like, they're fun parts, but then they just have too many rednecks sitting around hunting and stuff, and it was just kind of, all right, so they kill off the rednecks. I did like that they were not afraid to kill off anyone at any given moment.
Oh yeah.
That you have to have some respect for.
Oh yeah.
Because it really, I don't even want to spoil it, honestly, because they really had it set that there was going to be a male hero to the film, and he wasn't the male hero.
Well, yeah. True. Okay, you don't want to tip off the
No, because
survivors.
that was pretty nice.
Yeah. Who they chose to kill.
Well, right. They did it a couple times, making it look like someone was going to be the male hero of the film and then just killing him off.
Yeah. And they also made you think that A. Martinez's character died before he actually died. Or
Yes.
actually, he didn't actually die. He survived the movie.
He did. That's right.
Yeah, he was around at the end.
He pretty much does the Morgan Freeman Independence Day thing at the end.
Basically, yeah. Now, there's a montage scene in the movie that I actually enjoyed.
Oh, I didn't even notice a montage.
After she feeds the steroids to the gators, there's this montage of them getting larger.
Oh, that's okay.
I just thought it was really trippy, and I got a kick out of it. Like, deliberately, humorously trippy.
Right, I think a gator montage is forgivable.
Well, it's not just forgivable, I found it enjoyable. I also enjoyed seeing the giant python killing the giant gator. Bad CGI aside, it was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I do have to nitpick a line.
Just one.
Well, the great hunter, E. Martinez's character. I don't know if he was a he wasn't, no, he wasn't a hunter, he was just kind of a wildlife expert.
Yeah.
He sees the giant gator, and the line is, quote unquote, "a gator of literally massive proportions." Exactly how much is massive? Actually, if you think about it, everything is literally massive because everything, at least
That's
everything that's made of
mass.
matter, has mass. So I just got a bit of a cringe from the line, literally massive.
Huh. Think that was on purpose too.
If it was cleverly done, because it really did crack me up.
I was worried they were going to do the stomach trick with some of the people that I killed off.
Yeah.
And I was thankful that they did not. Also, what I think would have made some of the hunting scenes a bit more interesting is if they had machetes
Yeah.
for some close range,
But that would have really required some careful CGI and choreography, which, you know, these movies hate to hire
No,
fight choreographers.
it doesn't. They don't require carefully. Just more bad CGI with the same thing. There's nothing they can't do. They just can't do it well.
I was a little tired of the hunters with M16s.
Yeah, because it was kind of like the bullets weren't affecting the monsters anyway. So why would you still keep using them?
Except for the scene where Tiffany was shooting at the giant gator with the pistol. Apparently that pissed it off.
Of course.
The other gators and pythons throughout the movie didn't even feel it.
But it came from Tiffany.
Now, something else that I'm wondering now if it was deliberate or not. Diego, the animal expert,
Yeah.
had a bit of a variable accent. Actually, he starts off doing basically, like I said earlier, a Ricardo Montalban impression.
And they kept referring to him as the Indian.
Yeah. And eventually he becomes completely American.
Yeah.
The accent drops away completely. And I'm not sure if that was intentional or not. Or if they ever referenced the fact that the original accent was fake.
I don't know. He's a big soap opera guy, I think.
That's mostly what I know him from. Not that I watch soap operas, but I was aware of him when he was in them.
Right, I couldn't tell you which soap opera
No.
it was. I just know he's a soap opera guy.
Now, also, there's a scene late in the movie where Debbie Gibson's character, who is basically a supervillain,
Yeah.
has cameras on Tiffany and her deputy when they're putting the steroids in the chickens.
A very dumb supervillain.
Where were these cameras in the middle of the Everglades?
Yeah. How long do those cameras last if they're hooked up on their own, battery operated,
In the middle of the Everglades.
in the middle of the Everglades? How are they transmitting?
Where were they placed so that they weren't seen or eaten?
They put them on trees, didn't they?
Again, eaten. Now, there was one death scene that I particularly liked, and I will spoil,
Okay.
because it very much reminded me of Sharktopus, the
All right.
bungee jumper.
Oh.
Mickey Dolenz. It's
Wow.
eaten so suddenly, it's one of those shock laughs, like the bungee jumper in Sharktopus.
I thoroughly enjoyed Mickey Dolenz's performance in this movie. I believe the director must have told him, "You're just getting a paycheck. Just hang out, and we'll get you off in like one evening's worth of shots."
And that's basically how he was playing himself, is I'm just here for a paycheck.
Right. They had him in for like one night, probably one day. Done. Gone. Awesome though. Like, where's the VIP room?
Oh no, where's my trailer was the
Oh,
line.
yeah, where's my trailer? That's right.
He doesn't even say hello, he doesn't, there's no niceties, it's just where's my trailer? Which I would suspect is probably the first thing he said when he got to the set.
And then, of course, they're not going to actually make him sing a song. Nope. But that's what was great about his death was that, oh, he's going to sing a song and there's going to be like a music break. Chomp.
And it was one of my hits from the 60s, and you're thinking, okay, which Monkees song did they actually manage to license for this thing?
Right. Of course they had it. No.
Before a note is played, chomp. Also, when Diego is throwing the Molotov at the snake, I think it was a snake, he didn't light it.
They blend. That's the problem with this movie. After a while, you can't really distinguish what is a megapython and what is a Gatoroid.
It's big and reptilian. Thinking back, I think it was a Gatoroid. They improvise this Molotov out of a beer bottle and some booze, and he never lights it before he throws it.
So was it just on fire already?
Well, no, he threw it, no fire. The creature eats it, and its head blows up. Never mind, given the size, it would probably be one of those things where it would just the throat would bulge a little bit, it would burp, and that would be that.
Yeah.
Because it was literally a booze-fueled Molotov. And I did like Tiffany's line about hating them all.
Of course. I you know what? That made this a lot more enjoyable than anything else was their self-referential stuff. The "I think we're alone now" line. I mean, yeah, that stuff was pretty good. It made it interesting, definitely.
And we won't spoil who dies at the end. Although by saying that we kind of spoil it. I didn't expect that, for one thing.
Yeah, that was a surprise too.
Yeah. But also, was said character bitten in half by a decapitated gator head?
Is that what got her?
She was among parts, and so it couldn't have been a full gator. Just a head that still had a bit of brain activity and chomped.
Oh, they foreshadowed that. The head could move for a whole hour.
Oh, okay, I missed that line.
It was when the rednecks were explaining about the difference of hunting a python
Ah.
versus a wow, they actually used a
Of some foreshadowing.
foreshadow. And we completely missed it, both of us. I think by then I was kind of fading. I was kind of it was getting late.
See, the reference, I think, initial reference was in that first half hour when I was fading and not
Yeah.
paying much attention. So I didn't notice, the callback to it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done with my notes.
Yeah, I think I've
No need for sequels and remakes. Like I said, I like to think that these are all in the same universe, but there's no direct sequel, and I don't think anyone's ever going to remake any of these movies.
No. I think they need to do a crossover with something else, like maybe Jay and Silent Bob meet,
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay and Silent Bob versus the Sharknado or something crazy like that.
Blunt Man and Chronic versus
Oh yeah,
the
there you
Shark.
go. There you go.
All right, on to brains.
On the brains.
I actually don't have anything in my notes. I was trying to work it out as we discussed.
Yeah.
That first half hour was a slog, but I really enjoyed the rest of it. And I would recommend it just for how batshit insane it is at points. I'm going for.
I would recommend it. I mean, it had its moments. I wouldn't say that this is far from the worst movie we've ever seen.
Of course.
And the one thing I regret is not checking out what I'd give in other Asylum films, because I think comparatively it's better than most of the other ones that we've done. Just thinking of like Moby Dick and
Yeah, and Princess of Mars.
yeah.
The only ones I think that were better were Abe Lincoln versus Zombies and Sharknado.
So I'm going with three.
All right. And what have we learned?
Sometimes you just need to stay obscure.
And I learned that pop singers are not, in fact, actors.
No.
Who knew there was a difference? All right, so until next time when we'll be reviewing The Perfect Host, I've been waiting for this one. It's David Hyde Pierce, best known as Niles from Frasier, in a role that you really have to see to process. Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. You also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. The request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. And of course, the recommendations list. I tried. You can also email us at zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1 or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Irene, what's crazy about this? She's feeding steroids to gators. There's nothing crazy about this. What could go wrong?
Subscribe via RSS and links to subscribe via iTunes and R. Try that again. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes.